Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Bobby Sylvester of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We're going to get into our DFS picks for the week in just a minute, but before we begin, we have a quick message from today's sponsor. Do you play daily fantasy? If so, you should check out Draft. On Draft, you do simple snake drafts just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season-long leagues. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just 1 week. They only take a couple minutes to complete. On Draft, you can play for free or play for real money. And get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost 200% better than your chance of winning playing salary cap daily fantasy. I have the Draft app on my phone and just did an 8-person draft. I got Spencer Ware, had the 8th pick in the first round, but I'm happy with that. I got Ware and Christine Michael back-to-back. I'm going to do another one right after the show. Go ahead and join me. Download the Draft app now. Just search Draft in the App Store and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code FANTASYPROS when you download, and you'll get a 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store, and be sure to enter the promo code FANTASYPROS. Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and by my side, as always, is producer JP Gale. It's the weekend, and that means DFS. To talk about this weekend's slate is Jared Cord of FantasyCrunchers.com. Hey, Jared.
How's it going, Bobby?
Jared, it's going really well. By the way, guys, Jared can be found on Twitter at Jared's Got Moxie, and my wife was kind of poking fun at me today because I just joined Twitter when the podcast started, so I've only got a couple hundred followers. If you guys want to follow me, I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and I just shoot out start say answers rapid fire, so tune in for that, ask your own, I'll be glad to answer them. So Jared, last week I was telling everyone on the show to go trade for CJ Anderson because of his upcoming schedule's cake. I followed my own advice. I dealt Odell Beckham for him, and I got Allen Robinson. Needless to say, kicking myself right now. I really hope everyone else ignored that portion of my advice.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just bad luck. I'm not sure how you can project that. Like, that's just pure and utter bad luck. So tough luck there. But hopefully the owners that did trade for CJ Anderson found a way to get Booker in as well.
That's right. Yeah, I think Booker's going to be great the rest of the season. We'll see how it goes, especially this weekend. We're going to get into this, but I think he's a great DFS play. I think he's real good for season-long leagues, and he's one of those guys that you could add mid-season. He helps you win a championship.
Yeah, totally. I think he's going to be one of the highest-owned guys on the slate this week, and that's fairly straightforward to say at this point, I think, and fairly obvious as a chalk play, but that doesn't mean you should shy away, because I think he's in a great spot to produce.
So, Jared, I was wrong about CJ Anderson, but my DFS advice last week on this show, it was really good after a terrible week 6, and I'm feeling pretty good about my week 8 lineups. You ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Got tons of picks here. Want to dive in.
Awesome. All right, let's start at the quarterback position. To me, we're going to start right at the top. To me, there isn't much that really separates Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan at the top this week. I'm not sure anyone else is in that range. What do you think? Are you spending up on quarterback? And if so, which of these guys are you taking?
Yeah, so I mean, I do play a lot of GPPs, and I don't expect this week to be much different. I'm a big multi-entry guy, so I'll have exposure to maybe close to half a dozen guys, and all three of these players, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, are in my consideration set at this point. Again, it's Thursday night. It's always difficult to say that you're going to lock and load everything ahead, almost 3 days ahead, but. Here are the three different reasons and kind of different rationales that I kind of make the case for each of them. In Brady's sake, I actually think of the three, he's going to be the lowest owned, and that for me is one of the biggest benefits and one of the things that I always try to look for when I think about who I want to target. As a Buffalo Bills fan, I have had the pleasure and displeasure of watching Tom Brady for a number of years, but I had to look up a couple stats because I know that he's been an absolute Bill destroyer over the course of his career. Here are some numbers that kind of jumped off the page to me. 28 games, 25 wins.
Wow.
25 and 3.
Oh, that is so sad for you, Jared.
Yeah, I know. It's been tough. But they just made all those three wins that much more glorious. A 64% completion rate. 62 touchdowns in those 28 games, a pretty good number there. Ooh, so well over an average of two. Yeah, it's quite a bit. And then when you kind of look at, who else do you want to pair him with, Gronkowski absolutely destroys the Bills as well. He's had a touchdown on average in every game he's played against them. That's 10-10. Actually, the most that he's had against any opponent for his career. So I think both those guys make for a great stack. Gronk is going to be pretty popular. But I think Brady, after a bit of a letdown week, is going to have some ownership depression. So I love him there, and I'd say I think that he's honestly between the three, he'd be the one that I'd want to roster the most. Rodgers, I think is really interesting. This should be a shootout, and same with Ryan. And frankly, I like Ryan just a little bit more than Rodgers, and we'll get a little bit more into this a little bit later. But I think Ryan could have a similar type of situation to Brady in that he was the top chalk play last week, and he didn't really come through as much as so many people expected him to. So after getting burned, that recency bias from a negative standpoint in this case always takes ownership level down. So I still think that he's worth staying on, and you never want to have too long of a memory in NFL DFS. So I think all three are perfectly viable, and if you are gonna play them, you need to stack because there's some really, really attractive stacks for all three of those guys.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I love the Gronk Brady stack. However, of these three, he's my number three guy just because I guess this is why his ownership is going to be lower than the other two. And we still have Brady at about 10, 11%. You can see all our projected ownership if you go to the NFL tools. Now, it's a paid feature, but it's extremely helpful if you're building a lot of GPP lineups. And we have Tom Brady as the number four highest owned player this week. Highest owned quarterback this week. And Aaron Rodgers is the first because of the recency bias, but he's also the favorite I like. And that's because, he gets the extra rest. He's going up against a worse defense. I know Green Bay started off real slow, but they've got a little healthier. And I think their secondary is better than the Falcons' secondary, even though the Falcons have Quinn coaching their team, who's a secondary genius, right? But I like Aaron Rodgers. I like his weapons better. I think he's the best quarterback this week. But I will say Andrew Luck is sitting there right outside the top three. And if you look at his price compared to the others, on DraftKings, it's quite a bit lower than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Now, Matt Ryan's cheaper. But on FanDuel, Andrew Luck is $7,900. And all the others are at least $8,500. So if you're looking for kind of a contrarian play there at the top, I'm not sure that Andrew Luck's going to be more than 5, 6% owned just because Brady, Ryan, Rodgers all have pretty good matchups. And Andrew Luck hasn't been quite as good as them. I know last week he had a real nice week, but he's also getting Dante Moncrief back. So I like Andrew Luck this week too.
Yeah, I think that's a nice call out. And I actually had him noted in my notes to talk about a little bit later, but I'm glad that you brought him out because I honestly think that, that he can be grouped right in there with Brady, Rodgers, and Ryan. And frankly, I'd probably rather roster him than Aaron Rodgers just this week, to be honest with you. But between the four of them, I think that at least one of them is going to end up as a very profitable and very successful play in DFS this week.
Now, if we're talking about cash games, we're obviously looking for value, right? I talked about how Andrew Luck, I think he's a pretty good value, but there's some cheaper guys that are real good values. I want to start with Jameis Winston, who I've been hyping up on pretty much every episode for the past 3 weeks. And I'm sorry, I'm sure you guys are getting sick of hearing it, but this is where the schedule strength kicks in. He gets Oakland at home. Oakland's been dreadful against the pass. It's a home game in Tampa Bay. Oakland's traveling all the way across the country. They're playing early in the morning for the West Coast. I think Jameis starts his rest of the season tear right here. And at his value, 7,400 on FanDuel, I love him as the top value play of the week. Look, I know he's hard to trust because he's had some stinkers in there, but he's also had some huge games. So I'm going with Jameis this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, he's the guy I actually had noted here as well. And look at the DraftKings price at $5,700. That's an absolute bargain. It's an absolute bargain. It'll be no wonder why he's going to be super popular, especially on DK this week. And my partners Jeff and Brad actually covered this on our Week 8 podcast last night as well. So I'm glad we're on the same page there. I expect that to be a very close, high scoring game. And honestly, I think the Jameis Winston Mike Evans combo, chalky once again, but should be highly productive in a great game. So I'm all over it.
How do you feel about Alex Smith? Our formula has him as the best value of all the quarterbacks. I'm looking at him 6,800. He's at Indianapolis, and Indianapolis's secondary is not as terrible as everyone thought it was going to be, but it's still pretty bad, right? I mean, they're going to have to be throwing the ball to keep up.
Yeah, I mean, their secondary is really, really challenged. Honestly, I mean, well, it's not only their secondary, their whole defense, quite honestly. I think that they're ripe for the picking. The only thing with me is that I'd much rather attack the Indy defense with Spencer Ware, just based on how this team plays football. I have a feeling that they're really going to continue to pound the ground with Ware, and I think he's looking at a 25-plus touch day. So I'm looking at that. But if Indy can stay and keep it close, Alex Smith could have some work to do in the second half, and when he airs it out, you're definitely looking at him not only dumping it off to Ware and throwing some screens and all that good stuff, but also to Macklin and Kelsey. He does have some good weapons. He's just not really a pass first guy, right? So I always tread a little bit carefully with my expectations for him. That being said, if you're talking about trying to find the best dollar for dollar value play for cash games on FanDuel, I have to give you some props on that, because I do think Alex Smith is fine for that. I actually have him running this week as my QB2 in one of my season-long leagues. So I have no issue playing him there. Again, more as a cash game play, but the ceiling just isn't there.
Now, I feel like this question's a lot harder because, you know, we've got the six teams on bye, but every week there's one of these guys that ends up in the million-dollar lineup. Someone, if you're playing GPP and you want to hit a home run, who's a mid-range quarterback that might be contrarian that's the best bet to end up in the million-dollar lineup?
Well, the mid-range one is a tough kind of area to go. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if guys from that the Tampa Bay Oakland game end up there, like Winston or Derek Carr, who I really like as well. But I'm going to go a little bit off the board and be a little crazy here, and I'm going to say a guy that I remember when I was looking at the slate for the first time it was announced for Week 8 on the weekend, and the guy that jumped off the page for me on DraftKings is actually Trevor Siemian.
Wait to hear this.
I know. Well, I mean, it's totally a shot in the dark, and honestly, in a format like the million dollar contest, you need to take some shots. And I know that he didn't have a huge week necessarily against San Diego when they played a couple games ago, but he's only $5,100 on DraftKings. The matchup against the Chargers is fantastic. It's not really going to be a huge high scoring game. Like, I think Vegas has it for only about 43, 45 points, but they're projected for over 24. I really don't think that he's going to even have close to 5% ownership. And there's plenty of appeal here with guys like that you compare with, like Booker, Thomas, and or Emmanuel Sanders. I would probably rotate them, frankly, you know, with multiple different angles. But I think that the matchup there could net you around 20 to 25 points at the end of the day, which would be a great return on value, especially if he can, you know, connect a couple more times in the end zone than just the one TD he's seen the last few games. He's shown that he can be an effective quarterback in the league. And honestly, I think this is a tremendous game and situation for him to put up some big numbers. So this is really a very low-owned play that does have plenty of risk, but there's quite a few weapons there. We're talking about a terrible secondary for San Diego. That's an absolute mess. I just have no idea how they've constructed their team the way they have, but I want to exploit it. And frankly, I think that you need to give that some consideration because the value is just so good.
The weapons he has there are real nice, and C.J. Anderson's gone. They shut down the Broncos' running game 2 weeks ago when they played him and made Trevor Siemian pass 50 times. I know that's not what the Broncos wanted to do, but if that's what the Chargers' game plan is to get them to pass and he throws 50 times, if he even throws 40 times against that Chargers secondary, Jason Verrett's gone now. I like him a lot. All he needs is 20 points. We've seen him do that earlier this season. He put up 29 points against Cincinnati, who's a much better defense than San Diego is. So I could absolutely see that happening. Now, that's not my pick. My pick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. And look, it's easy to pick on the Browns, but there's a reason that it's a cliche pick. It's because the Browns are horrible, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's got Brandon Marshall. He's got Quincy Enunwa. I really like Robbie Anderson as a sleeper this week. I could see any of those three guys completely going off because the Browns are so bad. We've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick put up 3, 4, even 5 touchdowns in a game before. So, you know, if it's going to happen, I think this is the week against the Browns.
Yeah, he's on my radar too. I didn't mention him here just because I think he's going to be a little bit more popular than a guy like Semien. I just wanted to give a little airtime to a guy that I think is definitely a crazy shot in the dark. Don't get me wrong, but again, you got to get a little weird in this kind of format when you have, you know, so many people and so many entries. It's, you know, hundreds of thousands, right? So I like both those guys to be lower owned, but to be even lower owned, honestly, Semien's going to be off the radar for most. So I'm glad we both were able to cover some key guys that should have some pretty productive days, quite frankly.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to go more contrarian, I like Josh McCown this week. He gets the Jets. I know I just went the opposite direction, but the Jets secondary is horrible too. And look, I know Josh McCown's nursing an injury. He might not play, so obviously watch his injury status. But if he goes, he's good enough to throw the ball, right? They've got some weapons there. Terrell Pryor's not bad. He can throw the ball to Duke Johnson. And really, Josh McCown, it doesn't matter who he's thrown to. He's going to sling the ball all over the yard. And at his price point, once again, he only needs to score about 20 points to make value. And he's done that so many times in his career. So, you know, he's probably going to be 1% owned, if that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, and honestly, yeah. I think a guy, and we'll get into the tight ends a little bit later, but Gary Barnage has got to be so happy that he's coming back. And honestly, he's been very, very productive all year. It's just been missing the touchdowns. And I think he could make for a great little stat combo, and maybe even including Terrell Pryor as well. But it's good to see McCown coming back. They needed him, as sad as that sounds, to really make a recovery in order to kind of have a bit of a positive outlook there. Just quickly before we go off of QBs, I was thinking about this, you know, just before we came on, and we talk a lot about guys like Ryan and Rodgers this week. I think Breeze has to be in play even though it's against Seattle. But I feel like Cam Newton is totally off of the radar right
now.
He's
off my radar.
Yeah, and I mean I really like Brady. I like Rodgers. We like Ryan. We talked about all those guys already. But Cam Newton, $7,400 bucks on DraftKings. Let me just quickly look up his price on FanDuel.
$8,300.
Yeah, I mean, and that's high, right? And there's definitely some reason to believe in why he's going to be lower owned. But I mean, why he shouldn't be owned a ton. But you know, Brady's a little bit higher. Breeze is only $300 less. Like he will probably get passed up because he's still over that $8,000 mark. But he is a little bit better value than he had been previously. I understand this is a tough matchup, but he is at home. I have a feeling they're going to be playing from behind a good chunk of this. I know that they're actually 3-point favorites right now, which doesn't really make sense to me. But are we missing potentially, you know, a 30 to 30+ kind of potential here with that as a play that could end up, you know, netting you 300, 350 yards, 2 to 3 touchdowns, maybe another one on the ground that could ultimately be a really low owned play and on both sites. Like I don't know. I just don't want to completely ignore him. I don't want to ignore him. I feel like that's something we need to consider, especially while the value's good.
We've seen him tear up good defenses before. It can happen. Now, it hasn't happened this season. He's played Minnesota, who's probably the best defense in the league. 16 FanDuel points. He didn't get a passing touchdown, but he got one on the ground, and he also got one on the ground against Denver. Now, if you're going to compare Minnesota, Denver, and Seattle, I'd put Seattle number three behind both those defenses. Now, in order to get value on FanDuel, he needs 25 points, GPP value. So that's, you know, you can win having Cam Newton in your quarterback if he gets, as your quarterback, if he gets 25 points. He had 22 against Denver. So if he did that against Denver, and it was a bad game, 194 yards, one touchdown, he can definitely do it against Seattle. Now, I'm not going to bank on it for cash games, but GPP, that's a great call. There's a good percentage there.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, he's by far the cheapest he's been all season. You know, he's $1,000 less than he was 2 weeks ago, right? That's a big turn actually on FanDuel when you look at it. And to your point, when he did only have 194 passing yards and he had one touchdown, but you know, the additional work that he was able to do with his legs, going 11 for 54 on the ground, really brings that floor up, right? So it takes you up to 0.2 points. Got the hiccups here. Last week, though, he had 28 points against the Saints. Obviously, that was not last week, 2 weeks ago. They were on a bye, but a very productive game there, where he went for over 300 through the air and two touchdowns. And I don't know. I just think the value is just very, very intriguing. And if you stack him with a guy like Benjamin or Olsen, I have a feeling that those guys are going to be a little bit less on the radar this week. And I just wouldn't want our listeners to miss out on that. So food for thought.
Jared, it's this blows my mind because I never understood why yawns were contagious, but I'm almost wondering, are hiccups contagious too? When you said you had the hiccups, I was hiccuping. I've had the hiccups through this whole show. What is going on?
You've been hiding it pretty good. I don't know, but I mean, I tell you, you and I seem to be on the same page today. So nothing surprises me. We always seem to have some good jives. So it's, it does funny things.
All right, Jared, over to running back, and C.J. Anderson's out. We already talked about this. So Devontae Booker steps in. He's going to be about 35% owned. That's what our projections are saying. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but man, at this price point, how can you not play him against the Chargers? Are you fading him or are you chalking him in there?
Well, I mean, I think on both sides, he's a tremendous value. There's really no, in my opinion, argument that can be made to fade him in cash games on both sides. I think he's a must play. You can absolutely make the argument to fade a guy in GPPs any day of the week. You know, anytime that there's a chalk option, going the other direction is one way to get a potential leg up on your competition. And that's basic DFS there. And so I'm not going to be going all in on him because, to your point that you mentioned before, San Diego did a good job shutting him down. And I do think that Semien's going to have a good day through the air. That being said, I mean, you don't want to go naked on Booker, in my opinion, this week. So he's absolutely the guy you need to own in season long. I'm playing him this week in DFS for cash games, and in GPPs. I think he's worthy of, you know, at least 30 to 40% of your exposure. But to your point again on ownership, like I think that we're looking at 40 to 50% in GPPs this week, just based on how friggin' cheap he is on both sides. So enjoy it while it lasts. He's definitely a top 10 matchup play too. But hey, I mean, you know, it's, fading the chalk, like I said, is never a bad strategy. So I'm going to be going kind of halfway in between that kind of question on that one. Play him in cash, play him in GPPs, but not completely.
I'm going for the gold. I'm playing him in every single lineup, Jared.
I think you can make that argument too, though, right? If you think he's going to get, you know, 75, 80 yards in a score or at least something in that realm, then you can honestly just lock him in and just worry about your lower end plays elsewhere. Lower owned plays, excuse me, elsewhere. I completely get that too. I tend to spread it around a little bit more, never going all in on someone. But I completely understand it. It's a little bit more ballsy, but hey, it could easily work out.
I've done this twice so far this season. The first time was Julio Jones against Carolina, and man, was it beautiful. 300 yards. Everyone remembers that, right?
The second time. What was your happy dance like on that one? You must have just been dancing up and down the streets.
I don't really remember. It was just pure bliss.
You blacked out. Yeah.
the second player, I don't remember who it was because it didn't go well. So I just chose to cancel it out of my memory. So we'll see what happens here with Booker this week. But I'm feeling good about it. Look, I'm looking at my GPP value chart. And in order to make GPP value, all he needs to do, 18 points. And look, 18 points is tough to come by. There's probably a, you know, 25, 30% chance that he hits that. But most players, when they're sitting at 8 to 15%, 25 to 30% is a crazy good odds. So I'm taking that. He needs 2 touchdowns and 59 yards or a touchdown and 119. Man, I really like Booker against the Chargers. He's going to get the ball a ton because their backup really doesn't have any NFL experience. So he might get 3 or 4 touches, but I wouldn't be shocked if Booker gets 25 to 30 touches this week against the Chargers.
Depending on game flow, I completely agree.
All right. David Johnson, is he still the top running back this week, even against Carolina?
Yeah, I think he has to be. Honestly, that role that he's got, 3-down role, always playing on the goal line, doing a great job of punching the ball in. If DeMarco Murray wasn't playing on Thursday night, honestly, I think that he'd have some pretty stiff competition for that spot. But if you're looking for a guy to own in cash games, maybe to pair with Booker as your top, very safe, bankable option, I think David Johnson has to be that guy. There are a number of other ones that I really, you know, like a lot, and I'll be sprinkling them into my GPP rotation, like Spencer Ware, Christine Michael, and Ezekiel Elliott as well as some other guys I'm sure we'll get to in a moment. But I think if you needed to ask me point blank who's the one guy that you would start if you had to start anyone this week, it would be David Johnson.
Of all the names you mentioned, Zeke, Spencer Ware, Christine Michael, I'm least fond of David Johnson. Look, I know this Carolina defense has been horrible, but they've still got some real players up front. And I know David Johnson can score against anybody, but so can Ezekiel Elliott. I'm afraid of this Eagles defense. They've just been crushing teams. They have. But with that offensive line Dallas has, I really trust Zeke. I have him as my number one running back this week. And then Spencer Ware at his price. He's still down at 7,400 against the Colts defense. Looks like Jamal Charles is probably going to miss this week. Pay attention to that injury status. But Spencer Ware against the Colts getting 20 to 25 carries at $7,400. Yes, please. I'm taking that. I'm putting him in most of my lineups this week. And then Christine Michael against New Orleans. We know everything about New Orleans. And Russell Wilson's hurt. I mean, he's got some problems going on. So they're going to feed Michael the ball until New Orleans stops him, which is probably going to be never. So don't be surprised if Christian Michael's the number one running back this week with 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. It could be a great week for him.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I kind of just look at, you know, the way that the offense has been running through David Johnson, and it's only been continuing to kind of go that way, and which is why I'd say I just feel like he has such a tremendous floor. And honestly, I think the prices this week for a bunch of other values are going to make him very accessible. So that's why I said yes there, but I'm glad we do see eye to eye that the three other names that I mentioned are absolutely top options, because they're the ones that I honestly want to have rotated in with guys like Johnson and Booker. You know, those were probably my top five plays at running back this week. A couple others are in play as well, but those guys are looking excellent for many different reasons, and you covered most of them, so I'll leave it there.
After those four, it's a pretty steep drop-off in my opinion. I mean, I know you mentioned Lamar Miller, and he's been getting a ton of carries, but against Detroit, I just think Houston's probably going to have to be passing the ball more than they want to. And so Miller's not going to get the same volume as he typically does.
Yeah, I've been interested in him. He's also a little banged up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's questionable, so he might not even play. He probably will, but you know, those are the four guys. And look, if you're going to play David Johnson, I don't have any problem with that. There's a reason we haven't projected as the highest owned running back. It's because people make wise decisions with their money and they think he's a good play. People are going to play David Johnson. He's a good play. I just like the other guys a little bit more this week. All right, where do you stand on Ty Montgomery and Jaquizz Rodgers? Are there any others in this price range you like?
Yeah, so I guess you're looking at FanDuel at this point if we're still talking running backs and Montgomery, because that's the one weird thing, right? FanDuel continued to do weird stuff. They moved Montgomery, and I think they're like basically the only one in the league that moved him from wide receiver to running back. So that makes him a lot less attractive to me on FanDuel, especially for cash games. But Jaquizz Rodgers continues to be someone that I think has plenty of appeal, particularly for GPPs. I think his price tag is still very good. I'd consider Montgomery on DraftKings, actually. The price is very solid, and he's a wide receiver there. So I actually think he's one of the better values at the wide receiver spot. I think they're both in play, honestly. Montgomery is probably going to be, you know, one of my wide receivers on DraftKings, like we just said. And Rodgers is absolutely in my GPP rotation on FanDuel. So I have plenty of intrigue on both of them. And honestly, we were talking about Jameis Winston with potentially with Mike Evans as a very chalky stack. I think you can get away with Jaquizz Rodgers in there as a three-man show. Honestly, I think the only thing that's been holding holding Jaquizz back from being like a truly elite play the last few weeks has been the fact he hasn't found the end zone. But the guy's getting touches. He's being very productive. He just hasn't found pay dirt. And when that tide does turn, and I find touchdowns so hard to project. And I mean, and they're quite variable. So that isn't just me that feels that way. When that happens, those that are sticking with him and getting that value out of it are going to be very happy. And would not shock me at all in a high scoring game this week to see him do that.
Yeah, he's going to find the end zone eventually. It's probably going to be this week against Oakland. We already mentioned their defense. It is so bad. And they've been running the offense through him. Look, I love Jameis Winston, but they've been trusting Jaquizz Rodgers to run the ball a ton. It's probably not going to change this week. I bet he gets 20, 25 carries again. And don't forget, before Doug Martin and Charles Sims was hurt, he was the third down back because he's really good at receiving the ball out of the backfield. That's his specialty. So in a game where they're probably going to be passing quite a bit, Jaquizz Rodgers could nab himself 5, 6, 7 receptions. And in PPR DraftKings, man, that is going to be an absolute steal.
Yeah, and I always just really struggled to understand why he didn't get his fair chance in Atlanta. I mean, you know, he's not really a special talent by any means, but I don't think Devonta Freeman is either. For whatever reason, they just seem to give him a shot, you know, and with this new regime. And they didn't seem to do that with Rodgers. So I feel like he's the diamond in the rough play of the year so far. Just kind of like completely off the board into really tremendous relevancy. If you're really trying to look for a guy like that, and like we're saying, great matchup, great situation. If he finds the end zone, the guy should get 20 to 25 touches, and he's been so effective. He's looked really good. I've actually watched a bunch because I've been owning so much Winston and Evans recently that I've been forcing myself to watch those games. But he looks very good. And honestly, when a guy passes the eye test, you need to tip your cap and get him active.
You know, I mentioned that he did it against a bad defense. He did beat San Francisco pretty bad, but the earlier defense was at Carolina. That's not a cakewalk. Their secondary is bad, but their front seven is, man, it is really good. Now, the next couple of weeks, he's got Atlanta, Chicago. He could keep this streak going, and then Doug Martin comes back, and what do you do when a guy's run for 100 yards 5 straight weeks? I mean, that's probably not going to happen, but there's a chance there, right?
Yeah, and then it turns into a fantasy nightmare, right? When you have both those guys that are going to end up getting, what, 12 to 15 touches each potentially, or plus or minus 20, 30%. So this is the week to play him because there's a good chance that Martin does come back next week. And so I think if you want to give him some love, you got to do it now.
Jared, who's a running back that no one's talking about that you think, could end up maybe being the top running back this week? We see it happen every once in a while. Who could it be?
Well, I kind of alluded to it before, but I think that you need to think about Devonta Freeman, especially with the fact that it looks like Tevin Coleman's going to be missing this game. I don't think anyone's going to be on him on DraftKings at 6,500. That's quite expensive for him on that site. But for only $400 more on FanDuel, $6,900 in total, he's a fantastic price. Likely to be the every down back here, or at least seeing 80 to 90% of those snaps. And when they needed to go to him in the second half last week, he was very dynamic. And I can see him scoring one or two touchdowns here. Should be a high scoring game. Vegas likes it for nearly 53 points. And I have a hard time seeing that not coming to fruition with those offenses in place. So great GPP option, in my opinion.
Last week, we saw Jay Ajayi, after he put up 200 yards, have pretty low ownership because everyone thought everyone's going to be excited about him. And nobody played him and he went for 200 again.
And the Bills very rarely get run on like that. Like, that was just a very, very weird game. Like I mentioned before, I am a fan of that team, so I watch a lot of football there. But it was very uncharacteristic of them to play that way. And frankly, though, the guy looks like a really strong runner right now, being Ajayi. So sometimes you just got to trust the talent. And I think Freeman's that kind of guy in this situation this week.
I'm wondering how Matt Forte is going to end up. Obviously, he had the big game. He got 30 carries, 2 touchdowns last week. And now he gets an easier matchup at Cleveland. I don't know if they give him the ball that much again, but I love the matchup. I think he's going to be about 4 or 5% owned even after that big week. I like him and Bilal Powell. I like them both. I mean, you got to like anybody against Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. He's not going to be terribly highly owned, honestly, but I think that you need to definitely give it some consideration.
And then LeGarrette Blount, who's scoring a touchdown virtually every week. Even with Tom Brady back, they're still giving him the ball in the red zone. He's still making plays. And he's going up against Buffalo, who just got torched. And I know you say they don't get run on, but they've got some injuries up front. And I don't mind playing Blount against any defense just because you know he's going to get the ball in the red zone. I think this could be another nice week for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be an under-the-radar play. And don't be shocked to see, though, if Brady and the Pats get up by, you know, a touchdown or two late. Like, they're not going to take it easy. They've already lost to the Bills this year. And you know that Belichick doesn't really like to take it easy in any sense at all. So look for big numbers all around. And that will likely work in favor of Blount as well, because to your point, he always is going to get those goal line carries. But that's what leaves me in a good feeling about Brady as well in general. I just don't think that they're going to stop, even if they do have a lead in the fourth. They're just going to pound it and pound it and pound it.
All right, Jared, wide receiver and Julio Jones. He's extremely expensive this week, but do you think it still makes sense for cash games, maybe even GPP lineups?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I know he's expensive, but we don't have an Antonio Brown. We don't really even have an AJ Green here because of the Sunday morning game. Talking about the main slate. So he's actually one of my favorite plays of the week. When you just look at the matchup, you know, price aside, like, he's a guy that you got to play. And frankly, I think that because of the way that the slate breaks down, there's just so much value here. It's going to be actually very easy to find room for him. So I was actually playing with some lineups and testing it out before we got on the podcast, and I had no problem fitting him in, honestly, both for something I was happy with for cash and the same for GPP. So he's a guy that I think that you can play with a very high degree of confidence and absolutely pay up for.
Jared, this is a week where there aren't many plays that I really like. And so I just can't see myself doing a bunch of GPP lineups. I'm looking at one super cash game lineup, and it's because there's three wide receivers I love. You guys already know I love Devontae Booker and Spencer Ware. So I think I'm just going to play a ton of cash games this week. And I've got Julio Jones in this lineup too. Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and Brandon Marshall all have great matchups. And look, I know they're all really expensive, but I'm getting them all in there. I trust them, and I don't really trust many of the other wide receivers. And we'll talk about some of those options for you guys. But I love Julio Jones even at this price.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I think he's I don't want the listeners to overthink it. Honestly, play him. He's going to be great. He's going to have a great week.
So obviously the Packers offense is going to put up some points, but which wide receivers are the best to own?
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic this week. I'm curious about what's going to happen with Randall Cobb. I mean, the news right now does not look very good for him. So I'm really worried about that. So if that does actually turn out to be the case for him sitting out, do we look to Devontae Adams? I mean, I think based on price and how great he was in his last game, I think that you've got to really consider him for some exposure. It could be a bit of a Jay Ajayi effect, and it wouldn't shock me to see his ownership actually be a little bit lower than it should be if you think about a guy that had a great week. But the guy for me that I think that you need to think about for GPPs is Jordy Nelson. And I'm only really saying that because he's been such a letdown thus far this year that, you know, the negative recency bias is absolutely going to be in full effect here, and his ownership should be incredibly low, and so if he happens, you know, to catch a couple, you know, fades in the back corner of the end zone like he tends to do at many times in his over the course of his career, like, you know, this could be the week that you own the guy that no one's going to want to roster because they've just been burned so many times by him. So I'm really intrigued by him. I mean, that's on the wide receiver side of things. On FanDuel, and then when you think about DraftKings and also bring in Ty Montgomery, even though he is a running back on FanDuel, I think that you need to consider him too. So this is really only a situation where I only want to stack Packers if I'm with Rodgers, if I'm going to have exposure to that team. But there's so many different ways that it could go. It's really hard to handicap. I mean, if Cobb was 100%, I'd be going all in on him because he's just been great the last few weeks and looks like he's back to his normal self. But I'm really worried about that injury. I'm not sure how you look at it, but that's kind of where my mind's at.
Yeah, it definitely scares me about Cobb. He's been getting so many targets, though, that if he goes, I've got to trust that they're going to pepper him with targets again. I like Jordy Nelson. We actually have him at about 9-10% owned this week. So, you know, I know people have been scared off by the recency bias, but yeah, well, when he plays with Aaron Rodgers, he puts up points. And I know he hasn't been great this season, but I still think quite a few people are going to play him a lot because of Packers stacks. But for me, Davante Adams, I'm scared to death of him. There is no chance I'm using him in a cash game. He's just pooped in his pants too many times for me. GPP, sure, load him up. But cash games, I'm not even thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I have a really hard time with seeing it make sense in cash games as well. I completely agree with you there, but I have, again, no problem with it for GPPs at all.
So I already mentioned Mike Evans, and I really like Brandon Marshall, who hasn't been as good, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's coming back. Eric Decker's out, and, you know, Brandon Marshall's the guy there at Cleveland. I love Brandon Marshall this week. Which other top price wide receivers do you like, Jaren?
Yeah, mention AJ Green quickly if you do have a way to get him into a contest for the Sunday morning game. I think he's a must play. Mike Evans, he's a target monster. Probably the most owned guy I'm going to have this week across the board. Wouldn't be shocked if I'm going kind of all Devontae Booker on him like you are and putting him in 100%. You mentioned Brandon Marshall, who I like a lot as well. And then the one other guy that I think could be a nice tournament play is Brandon Cooks. They play, you know, in Coors Field, you know, this week. I love using that term. And honestly, even though it is against a good defense, he's just the kind of guy that has the talent and ability to explode and just put up absolutely massive numbers. So, you know, he has as good a shot as anyone to put up over 100 yards and a touchdown or two. So, in a game that I think will also be a lot higher scoring than people think, he's a guy that will have probably the lowest ownership of the names that we've mentioned to this point in this quick little segment, and I think he's got all the upside that they all do, and potentially even more.
Now, we're projecting Derek Carr to be a pretty good quarterback this week, but who's he throw to, Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree? Which of these guys are you willing to put in your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is just because I'm a multi-entry guy, but I have no problem putting them both, like kind of rotating them both in. I never like to leave any stone unturned, and because it's so hard to handicap, you just don't know who that's gonna be on a week-to-week basis. I'd honestly go 50-50 on each. So I don't really think that you ever want to really play both of them. It's a hard situation to see that really come to life and be super fruitful, because Latavius Murray does tend to steal some goal line work as well. But it really does seem to me, when you watch the games, him and Crabtree have that much more rapport. And I know his touchdowns have been super high, and again, it's tough always to predict those, but when does it become a trend, and when does that become a situation where you're like, yeah, you know what, it just looks like he and Crabtree just have a better chemistry than Cooper. So if I had a gun to my head and I had to choose one to play this week, it's Michael Crabtree, just based on what I've been able to see. But Cooper is obviously a great person to have in there for GPPs, just because he is so talented too. But loving this game for exposure. We've already talked about it at length. I just have a really hard time picking one or the other. But if I had to, I'd lean Crabtree.
Before we move on to the lower price guys, another player that I really like is Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, we don't know if John Brown's going to play. We don't know if Michael Floyd's going to play. And they're playing Carolina's defense. There's no chance they're going to stop Larry Fitzgerald, even if they're playing 2-3 guys on him. And if those two guys are out, watch their injury wire. If those two guys are out, Larry Fitzgerald is going to have a huge week. I will definitely be plugging him into my lineup. I'd say there's about a 30-40% chance both those guys are out. But if it happens, man, there could be some magic.
I'm so happy you mentioned him. He's actually the first guy that I had in this column or in this little segment to talk about. I actually ended up running him in my cash game lineups on Thursday night for the Thursday to Monday contest on FanDuel. Great floor ceiling combination, amazing role for only $7,000. And so I'm really glad that you called him out. I don't really need to do much more than that.
All right, Jared, if you're trying to spend down at the position this week, who are a couple players to consider?
Yeah, so I just mentioned Fitzgerald. I consider him a bit of a spend down. That's actually where I have him sitting here as kind of one of the top under 7K plays on FanDuel. I do like Emmanuel Sanders based on his targets and the matchup at under $7,000, and I talked about how I like Semien as well. You've already kind of quickly touched on Quincy Enunwa. I've been a player of him ever since I saw how well he looked against Buffalo in the opening couple weeks of the season. Michael Thomas continues to be a guy that I like a lot on the Saints. His price hasn't really caught up yet, and honestly, the same goes for Willie Snead. I'm not shy about playing both of these guys in GPPs this week, even though they're we're going up against Seattle. And honestly, I'm going to be somewhat bold and say I think at least, well, not at least, I think only one of them is going to do it, but I think one of them is going for 100 and a touchdown this week. I really do. Super value on DraftKings this week would be Mohamed Sanu. If you want exposure to that Atlanta offense and you don't want to pay much for it and think that there's a good chance that Julio gets a bit more coverage and is shut down, $4,100 on DraftKings could get you double-digit targets kind of guy in a huge scoring game. Strictly a GPP tournament play, very high risk, but someone to keep an eye on if you really want a low-owned candidate there. And then we've talked about Ty Montgomery as well. I think he's a really nice play for the price on DraftKings as a wide receiver. And if you can find a way to get Jamison Crowder active, just like we talked about with AJ Green before, I think that as a value on DraftKings, you need to consider him just because he's under 5K. Very solid possession PPR receiver, and that's the format that we have on DraftKings. So I don't want to miss him because he's been very solid lately.
Now, you mentioned Michael Thomas, and look, I know he's going up against Seattle, and that's scary, but at 5,700, he's on pace to break Marquise Colston and Reggie Bush's records for rookies there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Those are big games.
He's got to be the best DFS player so far this year that no one's talking about, honestly, and the sites haven't caught up to it yet. And I remember when I was on this this program with you a few weeks ago, we were talking about this similar type of segment and you know, some lower owned lower price guys. And I'm just going to quickly pull it up because I remember talking about it. I think it was when they went up against the Chargers later that week, and or was it against the Falcons? I don't remember. Either way, he had double digit FanDuel points and very low ownership. And it was I was glad we talked about it because he made me proud. But 13 targets last week, 10 receptions, 130 yards, and the guy's caught at least four balls so far in every game he's played this year, and five or more in three of his last four games, with a touchdown in three of those last four as well. So everything's trending in the right direction. He's got a very solid role, and for whatever reason, the price hasn't moved on him really. So great play in my opinion, and a phenomenal value on FanDuel.
Jared, there's a few other players at this price that I really like. Will Fuller at Detroit. I already talked about how Brock Osweiler could go off, which is just crazy to say, but it's Detroit. Case Keenum went off. So Will Fuller, he's a guy at that price point I like. And Dante Moncrief at 5,400. This is a guy that was drafted in the fourth, fifth round of fantasy leagues. And if he's healthy, if he goes, why not against Kansas City? Kansas City's been giving up a lot of fantasy points. $5,400. Now, there's a few other names that I'm kind of fond of here. I'm intrigued by, only for GPP. Justin Hunter for Buffalo. If Marquise Goodwin doesn't go, Hunter's the number one guy, which is ridiculous. But if they're playing from behind against the Patriots, they're going to have to throw the ball. And Justin Hunter, if he's the only guy, at 5,200, he's the only guy. Adam Humphries. They've got Mike Evans and Adam Humphries, and they're going up against Oakland. So I already mentioned Jameis Winston, $5,000 for Adam Humphries on FanDuel. And then finally, and if you want to go really cheap, this guy is obscure. He's not even available on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, he's $3,000. Robbie Anderson actually had more snaps than Quincy Enunwa last week and only one less target, $3,000. Against the Browns. And I think that against the Browns, they're not going to mind getting this guy into the game a lot more to see what he can do. And with Fitzpatrick trying to save his job, I think they're going to throw the ball quite a bit. And Robbie Anderson, he could be a steal at $3,000.
He's actually had six targets twice already this year. So food for thought there. I mean, yeah, I didn't know until you mentioned his name because he's just not really on my radar. But total dart throw, you could do a lot worse.
So if you had to go real contrarian, I just went there with Robbie Anderson. Who's one guy that you're fond of?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit of a broken record here, but and I'm not really sure how super contrarian it is, but it definitely would be a low-owned play. I think Demaryius Thomas has a chance to have a great week, and I'll tell you why. Seven-plus targets in all but week one, and five-plus receptions in each since then. He scored a touchdown in four of his five games since that point, but he's failed to hit the 50-yard plateau in each of those last three, despite all the other positive numbers I've shared. So the opportunity is there. The matchup is phenomenal. I mean, and there is a chance that Booker is held in check a little bit, like you mentioned, that the Chargers did a good job with the run the last time these guys matched up. But just with such the high consistency that Demaryius sees in terms of volume, and with the comfort level for Semien increasing, he has all the tools and ability to be a red zone beast for Semien if they do have some offensive opportunities down there that I expect them to do. And getting 80 to 100 yards and one or two touchdowns, it sounds a little bit obscure, but honestly, his price is decent on both sides. I think the ownership's going to be way down, and I already told you I like this matchup a lot for San Diego. For Denver. So wouldn't shock me if he turns out to be a really high value ROI guy, considering he's only $7,000 on FanDuel, and I think he's even cheaper on DraftKings.
Dude, that's a great price for a talent like Thomas. I mean, we've seen him put up some huge numbers every once in a while, and if it's going to happen, this is a good week for him to do it. So yeah, I can definitely see that.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Not a cash game guy though, but purely an upside GPP play. Bet on the talent, bet on the situation. He's a high target guy. He's got 26% of his team's targets this year. Like, that, there's not too many receivers that get to say that. So let's not forget that point.
My contrarian guy is Julian Edelman. He does not have 10 fantasy points in any game this year. People are so sick of playing Edelman. Last week he had 9 receptions against Pittsburgh. This week he gets Buffalo, and I'm afraid of Stephen Gilmore, but Stephen Gilmore is not going to be in the slot covering Julian Edelman. So I think this could be a real big week for him. You already talked about with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick just wanting to take it to Rex Ryan. Julian Edelman is going to be off the radar because nobody's going to play him after 0 touchdowns this year. But it's going to be the game where he gets 2 or 3 touchdowns. It's going to happen eventually. It might be this week.
Yeah, you just never know who Belichick's going to game play for or game plan for, right? It could just be we're getting Julian Edelman 100 yards and 2 touchdowns this week. It absolutely could be the case. I have a tough time seeing Gronk not do stuff, but if that's the case with Edelman, and you choose to play him over Gronk, for example, in a tournament or a stack, like, that could be a great low-owned pairing.
All right, moving over to tight end. We're going to move a little faster here because we're kind of running out of time. We have Gronk as the highest-owned player this week, and I'm playing him in my lineup if I can. I already talked about the 3 huge wide receivers I'm getting in there, so I probably won't have the money to do it, but if I'm able to, I love Gronk this week. Jared, who do you like?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was going to say the same guy, so let's do ourselves a favor on time and just move on to the next question.
Contrarian play at tight end, who do you like?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say, well, I mean, if the two guys that I love this week, and I talked about one of them in the starting 5 on Fantasy Cruncher, is Jimmy Graham, if you're not playing Rob Gronkowski, and it looks like he's going to be up to snuff. I mean, you've got such a great narrative there with Graham going back to New Orleans, and he's been looking really, really, really strong. I think we actually talked about him the last time I was on the podcast, and he's looked really good since then. But two other guys that I think that are great lower own options are Gary Barnidge and Kobe Fleener. Fleener's really settled in, and honestly, he steps his game up so far when he's playing at home. He's done really well on the home at home versus the road the last couple games that he's played there. So high scoring affair that I'm expecting. Would not shock me if he's very productive. And then Barnidge, and we talked about McCown very briefly at the top of the show. I think this is the prayer that Gary Barnidge owners have been waiting for. He consistently gets targets. He's been a very solid possession guy with absolutely terrible quarterbacks throwing him the ball so far this year. Hasn't scored a touchdown, much like Julian Edelman, as you mentioned, but the volume's been there. The talent's still there too.
He's the number one guy in Cleveland. Yeah. And they're gonna have to pass the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Terrell Pryor or Gary Barnidge, who the heck is it? I mean, let's be honest. And McCown is, in my opinion, the best fantasy friendly quarterback on that roster, even when a guy like RG3 is healthy. So I think that he's just, and Fleener as well, are both criminally underpriced based on what their upside could be. And I actually wrote an article about maybe even thinking about a double tight end situation on DraftKings when the situation's right. Wouldn't shock me if two of Gronk, Fleener, Barnidge, and or even what's the guy I mentioned before, Jimmy Graham, ends up being on the optimal lineup this week. Wouldn't shock me one bit.
It's amazing, some of these prices on DraftKings. I mean, I'm looking at it. Gary Barnidge is $3,300. Kobe Fleener, $3,400. And he gets Seattle. Seattle's horrible at defending the tight end. They have been for years. And then Kyle Rudolph, who I have as the number 2 tight end this week, $3,500. He's the number 1 target on their team. He's better than Stephon Diggs. He's going to get the ball at $3,500. That's half the price of Gronkowski. If you don't think he's a good bet to score half the points of Rob Gronkowski, I think you're crazy. I think he could be right up there by Gronkowski. So DraftKings, Kyle Rudolph, I've got to play him in cash games. Now, I can see Rob Gronkowski in GPP. And for FanDuel, I'm playing Gronk. But DraftKings, man, Kyle Rudolph, 3,500. What are they doing?
Well, it's tough because they're also not on the main slate. So I don't think they really care about that contest as much as they do because they're playing the Monday night game. So I also think that we're looking at a bit of a chalkier play just because he has, to your point, had that narrative and that reputation. But if you do have a way to get him active, let's say on a Sunday to Monday contest, you have to really think about him. I was just kind of focusing on the main slate, but I'm glad you mentioned him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that when I was saying it, but yeah, you're right on the money. All right, defenses. Who's a contrarian play that you think could force a couple turnovers, maybe get in the end zone?
Defense is really not that great this week.
It's bad.
I don't really like it very much. The team I actually liked the most heading into this was Tennessee. And we were just talking quickly while we had some difficulty there, but they're up big at the half as we record this on Thursday night. They were the guys that I had heavy exposure to on my Thursday night contests. But if I had to kind of shift my focus over to Sunday, I'm thinking about the Chiefs. I know you talked about Andrew Luck, but I kind of look for team skill and honestly a good situation to exploit, I think, could be Indianapolis. Luck has had an interception in four of his last six games, which is not a great trend, but gives you a bit of a floor there for the Chiefs. And they actually have the highest team takeaway rate on the board this week. And so I think that they have a very good chance of being a fairly low owned, but also a very solid defensive unit. And the other one that I'd say is from a bit of a contrarian play would be the Cardinals. We talked a little bit about Cam Newton being a really intriguing play on the offensive side of things, but overall, Arizona has plenty of talent there. It wouldn't shock me if they're like sub 5% owned even in GPPs, and they have the ability to, you know, to force fumbles, and Cam Newton has been known to turn over the ball too. So as much as we like him for GPPs, I think there's plenty of reason to consider that there's a decent chance they're going to be able to put up 10 to 15 points on both sides.
It feels really weird to say this, but I like Oakland's defense this week. They're playing up against Jameis Winston. And look, I love Jameis, but he's probably going to throw a couple of interceptions, maybe fumble a few times. And Oakland, they've actually had three games with multiple interceptions. They've got some talented guys roaming around in their secondary. And I know they're giving up a bunch of points because they're not very good at covering, but they're good at making plays. And, you know, if you get interceptions, you have a chance to get in the end zone. I like Oakland as a, try to hit a home run play. Probably not going to happen, but, you know, they've got a chance here, and they're cheap. So I definitely wouldn't mind going with Oakland. Now, how about if you had to bet on someone to get 10-plus DFS points, who do you believe in?
I mean, we just talked about Kyle Rudolph not being on the main slate. I'd say it's got to be Minnesota. Their defense has been so good. And with Chicago having zero quarterbacks left, I think they're what? Are they turning back to Jay Cutler this week? That's just a great situation for Minnesota to exploit, even though they're on the road. Very expensive on DraftKings, but honestly, if you're looking for a cash game floor and you're going to play that slate where they're eligible, I think you got to go that route. If you're just talking about the main slate, I think you got to give the Jets some consideration just simply because of Cleveland's turnover tendencies. I know we both like the potential for a Gary Barnage and maybe even Josh McCown have a somewhat surprising day, but at the end of the day, they're still the Browns, and overall, the Jets aren't that bad of a defensive unit, and they're very affordable on FanDuel this week. So I think that if you had to choose one there, I think that they're intriguing.
For me, it's the Patriots. They're my defense. We already talked about them going up to Buffalo and just trying to crush Rex Ryan. They're 3,300 on DraftKings, and when you're playing from up that much, a team like the Patriots, they've got some real playmakers. They weren't great at the beginning of the season, but they had a couple guys out for suspension, injury, what have you. And now they're back. And now they're going to crush the Bills. And when the Bills are thrown from behind, look, I love Tyrod Taylor, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to storm back and put two or three touchdowns on the board. He's going to be forced to try to make some throws. And the Patriots are going to pick one or two off. So I really like them to get 10 points. And at $3,300, that's a great price.
Yeah, can't argue with that at all. They're kind of next on my list, to be honest. I'm not just making that up. I had them next. But I'm glad you mentioned them. Helps just cover it all off.
All right, Jared, let's talk about stacks. If you had to pick one stack for cash games, who do you trust the most?
Winston and Evans, baby. Going back to the earlier part of our discussion, Famous Jameis and target monster Mike Evans. Those two guys, I think you can lock and load in just about any contest format this week and feel good about it.
For me, it's Brady and Gronk. I love Jameis and Evans, but it's Brady and Gronk for me. I trust them a ton. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, that's a really expensive one, but man, there's some real good stacks. If I had to go with three players, however, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, if you're doing stacks, it's probably for GPP, right? Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and Ty Montgomery. They're cheap enough, and Jordy Nelson just hasn't been showing it lately. I know I talked the other way on Jordy Nelson earlier, but if I'm relying on a stack at those prices, Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery, they've been getting a ton of targets thrown their way. So I like Green Bay as a three-player stack this week.
Well, the next question is going to be about a contrarian stack, isn't it?
That's right. Let's do it. Contrarian stack. Well, who do you have?
Well, I had the exact same combination you just mentioned because I think I think that there's going to be a lot. Well, not really the same, but from the same team. I do think there's going to be a lot more attention on other guys outside of Green Bay when you could easily look at a guy like Rodgers. I actually think the combination that if I was looking for a bit of a contrarian situation, I'd go Rodgers, Nelson, and Montgomery. I leave Adams off just because I think Jordy Nelson's got more people hating him right now than he does liking them. And so, especially if we're thinking about FanDuel, where you can put Montgomery on at your running back, which I don't think very many people are going to want to do, since there are some other very solid values at that same price or even cheaper, I think a Rodgers, Nelson, Montgomery stack. And frankly, if you want to box it out with Rodgers, Adams, and Montgomery, I think to your point, both of those are really intriguing.
Jared, this is going to sound really bad because it's Sam Bradford, but Sam Bradford, Kyle Rudolph, and Stephon Diggs. There's nobody else to pass the ball to, and so I feel really good about those two wide receivers. And look, Chicago's secondary is a train wreck this season. I know they've sharpened it up a little bit lately, but last week was a disaster against Green Bay. They're playing at Chicago on Monday night, and it's not the main slate. But if you're playing one of those, you know, Sunday morning to Monday night slates, sneak one of these GPP lineups in there with Bradford, Diggs, and Kyle Rudolph. At their prices, Sam Bradford's $5,000 on DraftKings. Man, I think you could really hit a home run here.
Yep, you've got a compelling argument made there, honestly. I think you can really get away with it.
All right, Jared, that's all the questions we have for you in the show this week. As always, it's a pleasure. Since we have the same lineups, good luck to you this week, and I hope it goes well. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much once again. Always a blast. And yeah, hey, best of luck to you this week as well and all the listeners out there.
And that's all we have for you guys this week. Next week, we'll have three more shows highlighted by James Cove, the NFL Network, to talk about his rankings on Wednesday. Make sure to tune in for those. Thanks for listening. And good luck this weekend.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of love, your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And Stan, we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.